Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, and welcome to Big Yay Energy. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Theora.
Come along with us while we dive into the fun and nuances of queer media. Representation matters.
And we're here to talk about it.
Cheers, queers. What's on the Big Gay agenda today, Theora?
Today, the number one item on the Big Gay agenda is wrapping up High School Musical, the musical of the series, by talking about season 4. Yay! Woo! Just as a heads up, this will be an episode full of spoilers. So if you want a spoil-free review of High School Musical, the series overall, go back to our very first episode about this, where we give our non-spoilery review in the beginning, if you're joining us for the first time for some reason. If not, and you're here for all the fun stuff, just keep on listening. We're going to get into all of it. But before we jump into all that, just a quick little housekeeping.
Yes. If you're watching this podcast on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Oh my god, I have so much issues with this word. Be sure to subscribe to our channel. Give this video a like and drop a comment to share your thoughts. We absolutely love hearing from you.
We do.
Yes. For our podcast listeners, please download this episode and leave a review if you can. Your engagement helps us reach a broader audience and spread the joy of queer content. For even more exclusive queer content, early access to videos and full reaction videos, so not just the highlights and the first three episodes, join us on Patreon, and then also dive into discussions on our Discord channel where we enjoy connecting with all of you. It has been pretty active, and we have been loving it.
Yes. Also, for those of you out there who are like, when are you guys going to talk about Gap the series? That's going to be coming up real soon if you're listening / watching to this. So if you want all of that stuff, become a patron, because some of it will be on YouTube, some of it will be on the podcast, all of it's going on the Patreon. So there's mm-hmm. that.
We try to give Patreon as much as we can.
We do.
We literally sit down for 30 minutes and just talk together, and it's a fun time over there.
It's the chaos crew.
Yes. You are part of our chaos.
Yes.
And we love it.
Keep it chaotic.
That's the slogan.
It is.
You can also explore all of our merchandise at biggayenergypod.com. And all the links will be in the description, so check it all out. Lastly, stay connected with us on social media by following at Big Gay Energy Pod. Made it easy. It's the same thing on everything. Your interactions mean the world to us, and these actions contribute to our ongoing celebration of queer media and advocacy for better representation.
Woo, because that's really why we're all here.
Yeah. All it's right. Also just so fun.
It really is fun. And then I just love when people point out things that we didn't talk about on the episode, and it's just like, mind blown. Yeah. It's great.
And educating us, because, you know, we don't know everything. We don't pretend like we know everything either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the people not watching and the people watching, I have found yet another costume to put on.
For the finale.
Every day that we filmed, so we filmed two episodes in one day, which is why I had the same costume on, but I have looked in the archives for this one, which is not that hard. I don't have most of my, like, actual dance costumes, so these are all guard, which is fitting also for Carlos.
True.
Yes. All right, so let's get into season four. This is my favorite season. Yeah. Okay, so the new characters this season that we meet are Quinn, who is very... I have not figured out a way to describe Quinn, like, in, like, one word.
Wait, who's Quinn?
The director.
The director? Oh my god, dude, I love her. She's just, like, okay, I'll explain Quinn. I actually love Quinn. Quinn is just that really pretentious person that went to art school and never got over themselves. So she has a massive ego. So she comes into High School Musical. She's directing the play or the movie, High School Musical 4 or whatever. And she's like, yeah, I don't know anything about High School Musical. I'm just here to make it artsy as fuck. I did this, like, indie film that's the best thing ever that no one's heard of outside of those scenes. So she's just full of herself. She's, like, the classic, like, egotistical maniac director mm-hmm. who clearly doesn't understand the material because she's just, like, too artsy about it. And it's like, this is literally just a high school thing. Like, what are you doing? She's trying to make it, like, a Kubrick film or something ridiculous where you're like, girl, maybe you should have read the script before you ended up here. But yeah, that's her. So she's, like, hard to deal with for a lot with a lot of the actors because, like, she doesn't understand the material because she never read it. And however, she just, like, takes over.
I do love, like, her relationship with Maddox. We need to talk about that a little bit later, but...
Well, sure, yeah. But yeah. She's fucking hilarious. I'm like, yes, a Glee character is here that's actually being themselves, and it's great.
Just while we're on her really quickly, I didn't... I was going to bring it up later, but when... So when Danny is doing the, like, big Miss Darbus scene, and she reads the stage directions, Quinn's face is the funniest thing. She's just like... like, what the hell are you doing? Like, that's the first thing you learn.
For real. But, like, don't hire influencers to be actors. Like, that was a big mistake.
I think Mac was probably part of the reason. So, some other new characters that we just kind of brought up. Mac, the child star. Danny, the influencer. And a handful of characters that we already know well from the High School Musical movies. Now, this season, we are back at East High, no longer at Camp Shallow Lake.
It's the 2 weeks have passed. Summer is over.
Theora's always going to be hung up on those 2 weeks.
It's so dumb. Thank you. Yeah,
but this is where we find out that the fall musical will be High School Musical 3. Which, side note, you can't actually, it's not a show you can license. I don't even think it is a stage show. I know I saw that there was a video of a high school doing it, but I have not been able to find the rights to this show, so I don't think it actually exists.
Hmm. It's just Disney flexing. Maybe that's why they never did it. You can't actually do it. Like, the show, they never actually do it in the season.
Don't they? Yes, they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they do. It's 2 episodes. It almost fell apart. My bad. That would be really funny if it just... Yeah, never mind. Never mind. My brain went somewhere else for the realism. It's just Disney flexing. They're like, we can do it because it's our show and we own the movie rights.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, maybe there was rights at one time and now there aren't. Or, like, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's just Disney propaganda.
While they're putting on High School Musical 3, the big... thing going on right now is that they are shooting High School Musical 4, the fourth movie in the series
with at the high school
because at the high school
this is the high school that hosted the movies, so that's what's happened. That's why everyone is converging.
And there's quite a few original cast members there, and they're filming at the same time as the show is going on. So there's a lot of High School Musical going on. That poor school will never be able to escape High School Musical. Christ.
We can't escape. Like, they can't
that
escape.
That school actually has tours every day after school. That's like, nice. Self-guided tours. Like, there's maps and everything. I don't think you can get in there right now because there's construction. I know way too much.
Yes, you do.
Obsessions. Hyperfixations. That's what happens. But Mac and Danny are the leads for High School Musical 4, but Quinn fires Danny after the first day because, you know, she's awful.
She literally cannot act. It's like you're just trying to hire somebody who has a fan base to bring to the movie. Because, like, I mean, yeah, they have her dating Mac, quote-unquote, but it's publicity anyway for the movie. So none of it's real. It's just she was somebody they're interested in because she has a following, and so the following will guarantee fans for the movie. It's like the same premise of just like making a TV show based off a movie that already has fans in the hopes that some of them will watch it so that the project is less likely to fail. It's like the same thing. That's why there's a million Spider-Man movies.
I like the new Spider-Man. I mean, I haven't actually seen the old Spider-Man, so like I can't really.
Why are there 10 of them, though? Why do we keep remaking Spider-Man movies? Just leave it alone.
Because it's easy, apparently.
It has a fan base. But yeah. But that doesn't work with, like, people who, like, act in social media TikToks is not the same thing. Playing yourself is not the same thing as actually acting, which is what this is demonstrating. And I think this is a good thing to have, because too many people think they're influencers or are trying to be influencers, and that doesn't always translate into actual acting. Because, like, she's not trained at all or didn't actually do any acting outside of whatever she does on social media, you know? So it's just, like, a modern commentary of something that happens nowadays that I thought was... She was really annoying, but I thought that was a really interesting thing to comment on.
Yeah.
So
they kind of forget about her halfway through the season, I feel like.
She doesn't mean anything. She's pointless. It was literally just for that. And just, she's a MacGuffin for the relationship drama with Gabriella, with Gina and, sorry, and Knock Off Troy. Like,
Knock Off Troy. I love you. Okay, but it doesn't matter, because Danny gets fired and Gina gets the part instead.
Oh no, who could have saw that coming?
Well, I mean, they show you in the first episode. Oh my god, the first scene in the first episode that Gina's gonna be the part in the part.
Basically, Gina becomes the lead to cause drama because it's Ricky's senior year, and Gina started in season three. Her character arc to become who she is, basically, and it continues here.
Yes. So what I was going to say is, we see her in the first scene. Yes. That's where I was.
Yeah.
It took me so long. Like, I was sitting there like, is that Gina? Is, like, who is that? I don't know why it took me forever to realize it was her. I thought it was, like, just another person, because I didn't expect it to be her. So, I don't know why. Some things took me a really long time to understand in this show, and I don't know where my brain was.
It was distracted by the song, probably. Because there's music playing.
And I don't listen to lyrics, like, understand lyrics enough until, like, I actually sing it and learn it. So, yeah.
Fair.
There's another point in here that I make that I didn't understand until I listened to the song. Okay, so, but this opening scene was so nostalgic, and getting to see the characters again, it was just so much fun getting to see them be those characters again. And then they finally confirm that Ryan is gay. Finally!
Finally, fucking Disney, it took this spinoff thing. Way to go.
Yes, Ryan has a wonderful partner with twins on the way.
Very cute.
So, after that opening, we actually get into the show, and we start this season with messy queers. That's all I could think of. Like, they're all, it's messy.
And it's the writer's fault that it's messy. It didn't need to be.
It didn't.
No, so, I hate this. Again, it's just relationship drama to have as the tension when we didn't need any of this. But please, at least for Seven Carlos.
Yeah. So we'll get more into details as we keep going. This one is kind of like goes along with the season, but just an overview of the messiness. Seb is currently not speaking to Carlos because he thinks Carlos cheated on him because of the documentary, because of the scenes that he was leaving this year, I guess they call it.
Yeah.
With this other dude that I don't actually remember his name. And
it
then
matter.
It doesn't. I call him Pumpkin Dude because of episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Ashlyn and Maddox are giving each other relationship advice, which Gina doesn't understand why they're doing this. And girl, same.
it's flirting. It's just flirting.
Yeah. So basically,
that's all it is.
The whole time that they're spending the whole time trying to help each other with relationships that are never going to work out because... Anyway.
Well, also because it's Disney, none of the relationships work out. Because it's this is also a ridiculous plot point because not that I like the Ashlyn Maddox stuff, not that I'm not hating on that. I think it's ridiculous from how they wrote it because at the end of season three, we didn't talk about this, but like Big Red comes to the prom or whatever and basically tells Ashlyn, like, you're the love of my life, we were meant to be together. And it's like, why put that in there? Like, I just...
Yeah, it's like, in the middle there? Of... It's in the middle of them doing the show. Like, okay, hold on. Let's get into that real quick. Big Red leaves the show in the middle of it. Like, not during intermission. In the middle of it. They're live streaming it. So he's walking in the aisle where the camera is. And he asks Ashlyn if she can talk. She's literally performing. Yeah, she has a 20-minute break because of ensemble life, but, like,
still, I know
this was time to talk.
This was so unnecessary. I don't know why they wrote any of it. Like you said, the sequence itself is ridiculous, and then the conversation is ridiculous because then they just break them up the next season. So it's just like, I'm almost glad it didn't continue because I'm worried about Ashlyn and Maddox, spoiler, because they just keep breaking everybody up and they're just like, yeah, it's Endgame, it's gonna be great, and then they break them up immediately. And it's like, what are we doing? Like, what is the show? What are we doing? I get they're teenagers, I do, but, like, why put that in there? That was really weird.
I don't know, but... I just want all the cuteness. Like, I know you need drama in a show, but, like...
Right.
I just want to see them cute.
But I also, what I don't like about this show sometimes is that, like, the drama isn't actually drama. Like, they had Ricky and his parents, great. They had, like, Gina and her parents, great. EJ and the college stuff, great. But then they just, like... shoehorn in just like relationship drama to create drama, like, because they're like, well, there's not enough, we have to like make them break up, or we have to like make a misunderstanding, or it's like, you could have done so many other things to create drama that wasn't just like,
yeah,
relationship-based,
there's like
drama.
I prefer more outside,
yes,
drama
external
than relationship.
Exactly, which,
thank you,
is
external.
Easy to do in a high school. Yeah, it's just they always have to force tension with the romantic characters as the drama, where it's like, why couldn't like Seb and Carlos go on the journey of like, Seb's not out to his dad? That could have been their drama. Why create this weird like cheating?
Oh yeah,
line?
We need to talk about that one later too. I don't think I have that in my notes, but we do need to
like,
talk
what?
About how stupid that plot point was.
And again, that's the plot point that shoehorned in, but like the relationship drama was the focus. It's like that's choices like that I don't like from the writing in the show. I wish they would have like take the foot off the pedal there and like focus on other stuff, because like the characters at this point are very fleshed out and like three-dimensional, and it's a, like, play with that instead of playing with like weird petty, I don't know. It's like reality show drama, and it's like, why? This is scripted. Why are we doing this? Anyway, but like the Ashlyn, to go back to Ashlyn Maddox, their whole thing of just like texting each other constantly about other people is such a like useless lesbian thing that happens, where you're just like, yeah, girl, your boyfriend, blah, 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 but you're like secretly in love with them. Like, that's kind of real life. So like, anyway.
But Gina spends so much time with Ashlyn that, like, she knows exactly what's going on. And I love that
it's
she tells
obvious.
Ashlyn to keep her eye on the prize. And it just makes Ashlyn freak out even more. She's like, what's the prize? Why won't you tell me?
Girl, and she knows. She's not dumb.
Like we mentioned, Ashlyn spends the first few episodes constantly texting Maddox. Like, that's all she's doing. And smiling at her phone instead of being in the moment. So now,
yes,
I know...
the crush is mutual. It has been the whole time. Also, it's easier when you're a baby gay. And, like, okay, like, when in season three, when she didn't realize she didn't see the rainbow on the wall kind of thing, when she finally did, that in and of itself is scary, and you have to process all that shit. But then to be, like, she had big feelings about Maddox the whole time. Hence, like, I was snapping at you, too, not just my gay awakening. So the crush was there the whole time. But then to watch the documentary trailer and be like, oh, she actually likes me? That changes everything when you're like, not only is she queer, so I know she's an option, but she likes me. She's more of an option. But she's not physically in front of you because they're texting. It's a lot easier to just like be yourself and talk to them it's less intimidating to have her. It would have been another story if, like, they were constantly together. I feel like maybe they wouldn't have been texting and flirting as much. It would have been another way, but, like,
I feel like it would have been avoidance.
Correct. Exactly. It would be like, well, she has a girlfriend, or, like, I don't know what this means, or, like, whatever. But, like, it's so much easier virtually when you can just be like, well, whatever, we're texting about her girlfriend. I'm not flirting with her. Like, she has the element of denial as she's, like,
and we do
in,
see that. Know? Like, Ashlyn's like, I can't walk now. Why can't I just function normally?
Right, because it's another story. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, I think this was played very realistically for, like, a little baby gay coming into their queerness. Because that's kind of how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When do you stop being a baby gay?
When you get your gay card in the mail. Did you not get yours yet? You gotta apply and take the test. It's an exam.
I'm curious. Okay, so now we're gonna go talk about someone that I'm sure Theor is extremely excited to talk about. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Gina.
All right.
So I know we've talked about her a little bit, but I don't feel like we've given Gina enough attention, like, through her journey, like, her arc. Especially last season, like, we only brought her up about with EJ breaking up. So I just wanted to give her a little bit of time in this episode. So we talked about in season one how Gina came in as the new girl, and she didn't know where she fit. I mean, she's used to being the new kid, so she's always reinventing herself. And in this season, we see flashbacks, which I really hate flashback episodes, and, like, they're new scenes, but still, I don't like those episodes. Like, we don't have enough time to do that.
Okay, but, like, it gave me nostalgia for, I was like, what is this? Because it gave me nostalgia from, like, TV back in the day when you'd have, like, 100 episodes per season, and they're like, we don't know what to do, so they would just do, like, a best of highlight reel, and that would be the episode. I felt like that's what I was watching, because I was like, is this what happens when you actually get 4 seasons of a television show nowadays? They're like, well, we don't know what to do, so let's, like, throw in some deleted scenes and, like, fill the episode with that. And that's basically what this felt like.
I hate it so much. I really wish. Now, I don't think there is some good lines. I do bring up some lines in there. So, like, the in-between those scenes I liked, but I hate going backwards. Let's keep going forwards.
But, like, Caitlin, sometimes you have to go backwards to go forwards.
But, like, the stuff that we learned wasn't even, like, that important. So we found out that Ricky and Gina, like, Gina's the reason that Ricky even auditioned. And then because Ricky was auditioning, Gina auditioned. Which doesn't make sense because she was already in the theater. But to be fair, most of it did track to what actually was happening in season one.
But it also doesn't make sense because Gina's whole business was like, oh yeah, I'm so into, like, theater and dancing and shit. So, like, what do you mean she wasn't going to audition? Like, in what universe? She was.
They,
like,
also
the
really played
one
up the bad girl thing. Like, she was not like that as much. Like, it was more of, like, a caricature of
they were all
her
caricatures.
Season one caricature.
They were all one-dimensional characters when we first came. Because they were trying to be Glee. So, yeah, but exactly. So, like, now you have the 4 3-dimensional characters, and you're like, oh, let's, like, flesh out what happened in season one. And that's kind of what they were doing, which was
the scene between Ashlyn and Courtney was pretty cute. Because
that
you
one
saw,
was great.
Yeah, you saw how Ashlyn, like, did not have friends. Like, you got to see, because we didn't see any of them in season one.
That's what
so
I'm saying.
That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
I just got it.
Yeah,
I just got
exactly.
Why that was important.
Yes, please flesh out the characters that weren't characters in season one. They were just supportive tertiary characters at best. So yeah, seeing scenes with them, it's like, this would have been great if you put this in season one to begin with and gave them lines, because they're great.
As well as the Carlos scene, because that's when we saw, like, that he was bullied, like, and was hit, like, right before.
Exactly.
This whole thing started, and that's why Miss Jen took him under her wing, and it's just amazing.
So what you're saying, Caitlin, is we didn't need the Gina Ricky shit. Because
No,
we didn't need that at all. Nobody cares. Like, move on.
Like, the only thing is, like, oh my god, they are meant to be together because they were the reason that each other auditioned for the show. But no.
Ricky was there chasing Olivia Rodrigo. That's not what, like, you can't retroactively be like, just kidding, like, let's erase her out of the show even more and be like, no, he was there for Gina the whole time. It's like, really? That's convenient. Now that Olivia Rodrigo's gone, isn't that convenient?
But we also, we didn't get Maddox and Jet until the third or fourth episode. The third episode in the season. They're not even in the flashback scenes. They're just in the little midway things. And I just want more Maddox. So, I don't like the flashback. Just put them in the... I really, really hate flashback episodes. Can you tell?
I can tell. And I think that's a remnant of growing up with television that wasn't slow. When you have 20 episodes a season, you can have episodes that are literally about nothing. Like, there's an
episode... Yeah, bottleneck episode.
There's a... Not better. Even that. There's an episode of the Gilmore Girls that's just about Rory trying to find a bracelet. That's the whole episode. Like,
I forget that one.
That's the whole episode. That's the plot. Like... But it, like, fleshes out point, like, it's, sometimes you need that. You need it to slow down so you can just, like, process everything and, like, let the characters relax. But now when seasons are, like, six episodes, it's just go, 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 go. So then when it slows down like this, you have this reaction where you're like, we're not moving, we're not moving. But it's like, television was never meant to be a movie. And it's like, now we constantly have to keep going before we get canceled. It just, it's a product of where we are, and it sucks. And I'm sorry.
I feel like
that's your reaction.
13 episodes is a good place. Like, I feel like that one, because season two was 12 episodes. And I think I like that one a little more because it was able to do more in the season.
Yeah.
But like 8 episodes, and to use one as a flashback episode, that was bullshit. I just want more, but I don't know.
Television in general needs to change because this model we have right now does not work.
No, that's a whole nother episode.
That is
as
a
well.
Whole different episode.
We're creating throwaway content right now. Like, that's basically what Disney used to market so much and do. Like, even for this show, season one, they did so much. And now, and in between season one and two, after season two started, they did nothing. I haven't watched it as it was airing, but you don't see like the shorts on YouTube anymore, like the holiday special, anything like that. They're like, oh, we don't care. And I mean, they probably blame COVID, but they're not doing anything really.
That's not just Disney.
No, but I just noticed with them because I know them as know. Well. Okay. Anyway, back to Gina. I'm still like enraged by this episode.
Sorry.
Freaking flashbacks. Okay. So once Gina doesn't feel like she is directly competing with Nene, and like she finally got to stay somewhere because of Ashlyn. Yes, yes, Theora. I know you have an issue with this.
I do. I have an issue with Gina doing the same thing to the director later. And I'm like, again, in what planet is this gonna happen?
Oh, no. Okay. We'll talk about that real quick then. Okay, so she talks Quinn into doing 20 pages of a script in one day. First of all.
Oh, there's that too. I didn't even mean that one. But yeah, okay, this one's also egregious. Yeah, please. This is what I'm saying. In these shows where like kids rule the whole thing, I'm like, this would never happen in real life. Get out of here.
This could never happen in real life. Because, oh my god, oh god, I just can't even get it out. Like, how outrageous. 20 pages. You know that they were, like, trying to pick an outrageous number on the set. And you know everyone else. It was more of a, this is what happens behind a set. And, like, all, like, the jokes. What they would normally film, I feel like, is at most, like, 3/4 of a page. I think that's what we were taught in school. Because there's so much setup. And things, and Quinn like talked about how she's like, we'll probably do the scene 50 times. Even if you do it in one take, you still have multiple setups because you need redundancy. The editors need different takes and
different angles.
Yeah. Like 20 pages would take you 2 weeks. That's not totally true because, like, it depends on, like, what the pages are.
Right. It depends on not that this isn't an action movie or anything like that, but, like, if it was, like, dance choreography, like.
Because, so, for reference, one page in a script should be 1 minute. So, like, So a movie is like typically 120 pages. And a comedy would be like 20 to 30. So like this is how much they were trying to do. And if it's a montage thing, forget about it. And they did do some montage stuff.
Yes, they did.
Which is way more setups.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I know too much. Anyway, but I think that's also the point, because they also make the joke with, we can just do a one take and I can walk the Steadicam op through it, because I used to be a choreographer, which does not
relate
to that.
I know, whatsoever. I was like, what is this? I hate, this drives me nuts in these shows when the kids just like take over and it's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, no, this is why children can't be in charge of shit. Like, no.
But they pan over to the Steadicam operator when Quinn says, it's not that heavy. And you just see him.
Right.
the poor person.
Yes. That whole thing was nuts. But then at the end, when they're like, yeah, we're going to go film this in New Zealand because tax breaks and it's cheap. And Gina's like, I accept the role only if we film it right here. And I'm like, on what planet is this going to happen? Like, you don't get to make that demand. Like, there's contracts and money and stuff. And, like, what? You're a nobody. Like, get out of here. Like, but again, like, they were setting up season 5. They're like, yay, we're going to stay in Salt Lake. And it was like, because the kid said so. It's like, it's stuff like that that I hate. Because it reinforces bad behavior. Then people are just like, yeah, then I can make demands when I'm, you know, 16, I think I know everything. And it's like, no, that's not how that works.
Quinn did tell her to make headlines. No, I know that that's not. So contracts were definitely already in place. Like, that's never going to work.
They were leaving that night. Like, there's no
I read one fan fiction where they're like,
it was wild.
Quinn ends up telling them, oh, the studios won't let us get out of the New Zealand thing, so we have to go to New Zealand. So, like,
good fanfiction writer, because that was bullshit.
Fanfiction fixes everything, let's be real. There's, like, some season 4 things that, like, are even better than, like, the show. It's pretty good.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we just keep going off on rants.
But I have problems with things like that. It's just ridiculous.
I didn't even think of it. I'm just like, okay, cool. Maddox and Ashley get to stay together. I'm glad.
Right. But like, think about it for 2 seconds. It's like, in what planet is this going to happen? That's so stupid and far-fetched. It's wild. Not that all of this isn't wild, but you know. Gina.
Kid shows, man.
That's why I don't like them. It's too unrealistic.
So Gina's trying to figure out who she is and where she fits because she finally gets to stay. That's where we started with all of this. But we talked about that in our second episode. What I think is really important to talk about is in season 3, everyone kept talking about how Gina 1.0 was back because she was like competitive, trying to get the part. And Gina like kept denying it because like they're making her feel like that's terrible of her, like that was awful that her old personality was coming back and she needed to be this person who was always caring, always nice, never got competitive. But like, really, that is a part of her. She is competitive and she goes for what she wants because she had to. Like, she's always the new kid, so like she needs to be able to create the opportunities for herself.
Also, you guys are all in an environment, aka theater, that has competition built into it. How can you be like, oh yeah, no, you need to be a loving rah-rah theater kid. She's trying to, like, she's not like she's, like, working crew. Like, she's trying to be, like, the lead in the play. Like, that is a competition in and of itself. Like, that's how that works. You can't be mad at her for that. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, so she's, like, starting to realize that that is a part of her. She doesn't have to, because I think in season two she was trying to change more to be who people wanted her to be because she wasn't fitting in.
Yep.
Conforming. And she and her walls were coming down, so she is being able to open up, but she has to figure out who she actually is and how to balance these two Ginas. And as I was thinking about this, I finally realized that that is what the song she sang called Balance was about. Yes. So
yeah,
I have some lyrics from that song written down. In the song, she sings, I feel like it's my time, not the old me, 2.0 me. No, the real me is about to shine. And in another part, she talks about like them, like a half and half thing. And then again, she says, and maybe before I was only half of me, but now I trust in my instincts and I'm loving what I see. So like, I love that song in general. Just because I love all the things, like, telling you to love yourself, because, like, that's what that age group really needs to understand, because there's so much stuff telling kids to be this certain way, like, be like Danny, the influencer. But these, so, like, Ashlyn, Courtney, Gina, they're all learning to love who they are without people telling them who they should be.
You know what this reminds me of?
Oh, because no.
It's not just kids. Adults need to hear this too, and particularly mm-hmm. women. So this reminds me of the monologue in the Barbie movie where America Ferrera was basically saying like the impossible balancing act. It's like you have to be smart but not too smart. You have to be like, you know, driven but not too competitive. That's exactly what Gina's going through. It's that, oh, she's the mean girl. It's like was anybody mad at Ricky for always going for the lead or being like, oh, he's too competitive? No, it's put on Gina, the woman. So it's like, this is very much like a Barbie movie moment.
No, but Carlos is upset with him for getting the parts when he's never prepared. And I agree with Carlos.
I agree as well. But like, again,
you know, Carlos is definitely dogged in the show as well.
For like, sure. But like, yeah, like the same double standard is not put on any of the men. Like, let's go back to season one. Is anybody really mad at EJ for being competitive when it comes to theater? Like, no.
No.
No. But we're mad at Gina. Barbie movie. This is a Barbie movie moment. And it's not just kids.
That scene, I mean, I think everyone loves that scene. But that scene is so... America Ferrera is amazing.
That whole movie is amazing. Turn this off and go watch the Barbie movie.
Think Aura!
No, seriously.
Finish this and then go.
It's so good. But yeah, like, it's something everyone needs to hear. Everyone. Because, yeah. I understand what they're going for, but, like, why is it the woman's plotline? It's that double standard
shit. That's fair. Most of the guys are just about the girl. I don't know. I don't pay attention as much.
Well, like, he has his own thing going on, but, like, no one calls him out for, like, being competitive about theater. He's called out by Ashlyn for, like, being toxic as fuck to people.
Yes.
Like, yes, which is great, but, like, no one cares that he's hyper-competitive about theater. But here's Gina being competitive about theater, and they're like, wow, I can't believe you're being 1.0, like, super competitive. Why? It's just wild. I mean, you're in an environment that inherently has competitiveness in it, so it doesn't make sense to me. It's not like you're getting together to bake cookies for, like, a sale or something, and you're like, wow, Gina, you're being so competitive about this. Like, something that doesn't require being competitive, but it's like, you're being competitive for an actual reason, like, and that's okay. That's part of this.
Also, it's great for the documentary.
That too.
I know, like, there's a lot of people who don't like Gina, but I think I just feel like I see her more. Also, I mean, I paid attention to her more since she was the only actor that I knew coming into the show. But I don't know. I like her in season four, even though she's out there with some of the things that she gets. But back to...
She's, like, actually the lead in season four, so you're supposed to care about her, and she, like, has more time and more focus in general. Because she, like, went from background to, like, being the lead, like, if you go from season one to season four. So, like, yeah, like, it's designed to get to know her more, because she's, like, taking over the hole that Olivia Rodrigo left, you know, so...
Yeah, they definitely made her, like, starting in season three, they were like, okay, you are the new Olivia.
Right, which, that's what I don't like. Whereas I was like, let Gina just be Gina. I was like, when she's getting competitive again, I'm like, good, go, like, yes, be competitive, be interesting. But they tried to make her into Nene, and I'm like, why? Like, let her be her own thing. Ugh, it's annoying. Like, they gave her Ricky. Like, they just, like, were just like, it's okay, you're just gonna, you know.
Again.
Let her be single. Why does she need a boyfriend?
Yeah, you know what? We needed more singleness.
Yes, like, let her be single and figure her shit out. Like, since the 2 weeks with EJ didn't work out. It just drives me crazy.
You in the 2 weeks!
It's just ridiculous and far-fetched. And they just, it was just very much, they were trying to break them up because they wanted her to be the new Nene and, like, needed to put her with Ricky. Because Ricky can't be single either. Otherwise, what is this show? So I'm just like, who cares? Like...
I'm still waiting for EJ and Ricky to be together.
Right.
Just saying.
Go do that. Leave Gina alone. Let Gina just be Gina. Because then, like, she spends all the season crying over a boy, and it's like, I don't want to see this.
Yeah.
I just
don't know. Okay. Anyway. Let's finish off her arc real quick.
That's why I don't talk about Gina. I have problems with her stuff.
But this is why there's two of us. We both like different things, and we both see different things, and I try to see the good in everybody.
You do.
I try. It gets me into trouble sometimes. Like, whatever. So, Gina's trying to figure out how to balance, like, this balance of herself, and she was... trying to figure out what she wanted. And yes, she should have given EJ more room since he had a lot going on that summer. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. It wasn't the whole summer. It was just 2 weeks.
But she saw that what the next year would be like. And since he would be in college and she would still be in high school. And she didn't want that to be her relationship. Like, her always just following him around and him not having time for her. Which I don't think is unfair to say.
I don't think that's unfair. But then her plot becomes that with Ricky. And it's like, yeah, he's closer, but she has that exact experience. So it's like she was destined for this. They just wanted her with Ricky. That's all. That's
okay,
just the writer wanted this.
But she grows enough to understand that, oh, I'm now in EJ's. Because she has a scene where she's like, I ended my relationship because this is not what I wanted. And now I'm in EJ's place and Ricky's in mine. So, like, she understands what Ricky is feeling. And I feel like she feels a little guilty for breaking up with EJ.
Yeah, she learned empathy at EJ's expense. That's what happened. That's the plot.
But that is how you grow.
It's true. We learned that 2 weeks aren't everything. 2 weeks aren't real life.
But because she knows what Ricky's feeling, she does make it a point to, like, try to spend time with Ricky. Like, that's why she gets Quinn to somehow superhumanly film half this movie in one day. Like, what the... Did they finish this movie a month ahead of schedule? Like,
it's
what the
ridiculous.
Hell? Like, I don't understand. But anyway, that doesn't matter. So, she is trying to... understand Ricky more, which, you know what, I don't think Ricky ever tries to understand that. I mean, he did by the end understand that Gina needed to do these things, which is some growth from him.
Great. I just think EJ was better for her than Ricky, and it drives me crazy.
You are a Portwell fan.
I don't care. I just think she is a much more mature person than Ricky. EJ is a much more mature person. They made a better...
Well, he matured over the show. The first season, I would not put them together.
Correct. Because they grew, right?
Yeah!
So, yes, in season three, beyond, they make more sense than Ricky. And it just drives me nuts that she has that plot line anyway. And it was just very clear the writers were trying to put her together with Ricky because she's the new NeNe.
And apparently,
let her be her own thing.
Okay.
Definitely crazy.
Something else really quickly about this, her being with Ricky. So apparently, in the first season, in the hat she gives him, it says, "I love you too, Ricky." First of all, how has Ricky not seen that tag this entire time? And two, they talk about her not wanting to say it first. So, like, I feel like that was added in later, and it was just really weird.
It was really weird.
It was weird.
It was weird.
Yeah. Because then why did she go with EJ? Like, she was talking to EJ that same season. Teenagers, man. I don't understand them. I didn't understand them when I was one.
Right. It's Disney magic. We'll just chalk it up to that.
Okay. Okay. But now we can move on.
Okay.
I think my favorite episode, which is the Halloween episode.
Yes, let's get to the gay stuff.
So usually I do not like Halloween episodes.
Why? They're fun.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't, because like, I mostly see like the Disney ones. So like the Disney ones are pretty stupid.
That makes sense.
Like growing up, like that's. Also, I just don't like, I wasn't raised to really like Halloween. So it's just not something that like I'm into. And they always like try to be scary, but they're never scary. And it's just
in shows kind of, though, it's just an opportunity for the character to like explore things they're afraid of doing because they can hide behind the costume. So usually something big will happen in that episode that the character wouldn't normally do. So they're fun because you get the characters to get out of their comfort zones. So that's why I like them. And that's what basically happens here. So like,
it's a great episode.
Yes, because Halloween's the best. Like, it's good for writing.
So I have already gushed about this episode slash one scene in particular. But because there's most likely people who have not seen our LGBTQ ships episodes, go watch those after this if you haven't. I get to do it all over again. And yes. I'm so excited.
Yes,
so.
Now I actually know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm so glad for... Okay, so Bri and Theor was just, like, sitting there watching me do this. So, like, this excited explaining, trying to explain what this show is about and what this scene was. But it's so hard when you're the one who knows what's going on. Okay, so this episode is all about Madeline pining. Okay, that's not the only thing.
That's why I like it.
This episode also makes me laugh so much. Especially when Ashlyn pulls out, so she has these tarot cards from her psychic, and she pulls out the death card, and Carlos says present, because he's dressed as death.
He's upset over that. She
makes me laugh so much. Okay. So, in order for this episode not to go on for 4 hours, because it's already been almost an hour, and we just got so much to go, sorry. We're just going to skip to the best scene that is my favorite thing out of the entire show. So Maddox is gearing up to scare everyone, because she is still upset that she didn't get to do the Woman in the Woods scare, because Jet ruined everything. So Jet is trying to help her make this one even better. Like, you shipped Jet. So while Ashlyn is reading these tarot cards, Maddox pretends to be electrocuted. So just the lights flicker. You see her with like fog smoke coming off of her head or something.
It's pretty intense.
And then she just falls over. Oh my god, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get through this because I could just see it in my head again. Ricky says, "What do we do?" Ashlyn gets up and says, "Someone call an ambulance," runs over to Maddox and yells, "I'll give her mouth to mouth as a friend." It's just the line delivery. Julia Lester kills that line.
Good comedic. She has very good comedic timing for sure.
Just the way she yells as a friend. Like, she turns to everyone and makes sure they know it's just as a friend.
But also, like, again, like, this is the, again, this is the classic Halloween shit, because it's a character doing something they wouldn't normally do, which, yeah, obviously the electrocution thing, but it's like, There is no hesitation of just, like, feelings on display from Ashlyn. It's just immediate. Like, just, she's acting as she normally wouldn't in other circumstances. So, kudos. Love it.
Oh, she did great in this episode. I mean, in every episode, but, like... So, Ashlyn's about to give her mouth-to-mouth. And then Maddox says, boo. And this poor girl looks so distraught afterwards and probably embarrassed because it was just a joke. And she's like, well, one, there's disappointment because she didn't get to kiss her. And like, two, like, she was like so in it and like trying to save her. So I just, her little heart can't take it right now.
No, literally. I think it's because I think she also like, perhaps this too was a I didn't realize how much you meant to me moment, and like until this just happened, because like she freaked the fuck out like you would if your wife was dying. Like she's like, holy shit, I'm about to lose my partner of 20 years. Like that's how she behaved in this scene, and then to have it be a joke, I think she's like, holy fuck, I can't believe I just reacted like that. I think that's also part of it. It's not just that I'm embarrassed. How dare you make fun, like make this a joke. I think she was like, wow, that was my reaction to this. I did not expect myself to do this. It's the magic of Halloween.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot her face where she's just like staring into space is just like, wow, I can't believe I just did that. Like that was my first reaction, was freaking the fuck out immediately. Aww. Like, and she's like clearly not okay. Like after it happens, like she doesn't calm down. I think she's very rattled by like her reaction. And the way she felt in the moment.
And people notice that, like, she looks like she's about to cry.
Right.
And
because she's like, I almost just lost. I thought I, like, even though it was fake, she's like, I felt like I was losing you for real. And, like, the feelings are real despite the circumstance being a ruse, you know? So, like, she still has those feelings, like, and that's why they point that out. They're like, are you okay? Because, no, she's not okay. The feeling she's having is really real in this moment. And I don't think she expected it to get real like that and to feel this way and doesn't know what to do with that.
It's about time though that she realizes it.
You know what? Fucked up way to figure it out, but yeah, yes. Like
it really is.
It's fucked up. Like that's terrifying to like
all it's a roller coaster for her in this episode.
Yes.
So later, Ashlyn is alone in Gina's attic and she's working on a song, which, you know, also kind of doesn't make sense to me, because why is she working on a song that's not in her house and she has a piano? Because I don't think Gina has a piano. Does Gina have a piano? I don't think we've ever seen one before.
Did she bring the piano? Who the fuck knows?
So, of course, no one else is up there, but Maddox comes up.
Obviously not. No one in Gina's bedroom is...
Is it? It looks like her bedroom, but then she says attic, but and where's her bed? Because I know her bed is usually there, so like I'm really confused.
The bed was still there, or I don't know.
No, the bed's not there.
Maybe she moved it for whatever this is. Why were they doing this in the attic?
They need signage and everything.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so Maddox comes in and is like picking up cups or something. I also don't know why she's doing that. I mean, I guess she wants to be a good guest or something.
She's trying to hang out with Ashlyn and is low-key just lingering, pretending to tidy. That's what's happening.
Okay. See, Theora's here because she reads more into things, and I'm just see what's going on, actually.
Well, you have to, like, think about the motivation. Like,
I'm working on it.
Motivation. She's just trying to be near her and find an excuse. So she's like, I guess I'll tidy and make small talk with you. And that's basically what happens.
This whole scene is just really cute.
Yes.
And I also love how she reacts when Ashlyn's like, and I think Emmy might have a crush on your brother. And Emmy looks way too little for her.
No, I'm like, this has got to be illegal in some states. Like, get out of here with this.
But they never pursue that.
Thank God. I don't want to see it.
But Ashlyn tells Maddox that she's working on a song for Emmy and Jet, since they played Chad and Taylor. And Maddox asks to hear it. And Ashlyn says, is if you promise to don't judge me. Maddox's response was, oh, Ash, you know I can't do that. Judging people's my specialty. Which I feel like she doesn't actually judge people.
No, I feel like this was like playful banter, because at this point you have to think, like, the two of them have been texting like crazy, right? And so you do get to know people through text. And she was like laughing at the phone. So obviously, like, Maddox was like doing jokes like this. So I think Ashlyn understands Maddox's sense of humor. And that's what this was. This was just like, I'm like I'm texting you. Like, I'm just making jokes with you. Like, because I'm sure she's like, has like, you know, Ashlyn has sent herself where she's like, oh, I'm doing something creative or whatever. And Maddox did this kind of like nagging shit that she's doing now. This is like lesbian flirting 101. But like, I think she knows her well enough to understand that she's joking to make her comfortable again. Because like, sharing your art's a big deal. Like, you know, that's something very personal. And this is just to ease her into doing it. That's what this is.
I love talking to you about stuff, Theora. Anyway.
That's why we see you. This scene is also cute, and there's a lot going on in this scene. Like, that's fun. And not annoying. Well, it gets annoying at the end for external reasons.
We'll get there. So Maddox ends up joining Ashlyn when she's singing because, of course, everyone magically knows songs and dances in the musical world. But you just have to get over that fact.
Well, yes, that's true. And it's really annoying. But here they did it well, where like she basically like, as Ashlyn sings, because Ashlyn knows it because she wrote it. And so she's like doing it. And then like Maddox is clearly like paying attention, listening. And then she picks the notebook up and kind of like reads ahead. So she's like, it feels more natural. Yeah, because she's like, okay, like as somebody who like does theater also, like I understand how to like improv this basically. It's not like they're out in the world just doing whatever. Like, this felt more like how that scene should go, where she's like, okay, I have your notes with the words. I can hear your melody. I hear what you're doing. And so she kind of plays off of her. It's like an improv. It felt
Man, I wish I had that talent. Some people really do have the improv capability of doing that, and I'm just like...
Yes. Have you ever seen the improv dancing? It's wild. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, people who've never danced together just improv amazing dances. This reminded me of that. It felt more natural and like an improv scenario, not like a we're bursting into song because we're Disney princesses kind of thing. Like, yeah. So this felt good.
This scene was just, I mean, the whole episode, I feel like, is really good. But, like, this, their moments in this episode were just so well done.
Yes. And because A, finally, but B, it was also, like, yes, executed and well thought out for the two, who these two actually are. So I enjoyed it.
Also, love the lighting in this room. There's also a lot of candles for some reason, but,
well, I guess Halloween spookiness.
Yeah.
Like, there's the ambiance. It's less weird than when Ricky was by himself. With the same amount of candles and a piano. Like, he did that for himself. This is Halloween. You're supposed to have candles. And, like, you see, like, some of them look like pumpkins. And there's, like, you know, orange lights. Because it's a Halloween party. It makes more sense. It's like they stumbled into this little haven that they're having. Versus, like, Ricky lit a bunch of candles so he could sing a dramatic AF song. Like, it feels... That was staged. This was, like... They kind of fell into this little bubble. So that's what I mean. Like, everything about the way this scene was set up feels more like a natural thing that's happening and not like a manufactured thing, which a lot of the stuff sometimes feels like that in shows where there's like they break out into song, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, it feels like they are having a moment because they are.
They're just so cute.
They are cute.
So when they're singing, you could see on Ashlyn's face just... Like, she realizes just how much. So, you brought up earlier that she realized when she...
She already knew, girl, but yeah.
But, you know, in this thing, like, her singing, like, song is very powerful for people in this musical theater world. Like, for example, just in real life. So, I found out yesterday that Carlos and Seb are dating in real life.
Yay!
And they've been together since season one.
Good.
And so, Frankie plays Carlos... said that he knew that he was a goner and was gonna have like a huge crush on Joe, who plays Seb, when he was playing the piano and was doing musical theater songs in between scenes. So music is just a huge thing. So they're really connecting in this moment, and you see on Ashlyn's face like just how much like she wants her. Like, I love Julia.
Also, isn't the song about feelings between two people? So it's like she's put her heart and soul into a song that's about two people, like, expressing feelings about each other.
But it's, like, about them, like, not knowing how they feel. It's just, like, I just want you. Like, that's it.
Right, because I think that, like, that didn't sink in until she had a heart attack 5 minutes ago when she thought Maddox was dying. Like, and now it's, like, okay, this is Ashlyn admitting to herself by singing this out loud that, like, yeah, this is real. I actually like you. That's what this is. It's, like, on the nose, but, like, in combination with the sequence of, like, the scare thing that she freaks the fuck out, is sitting with those panicking feelings that she didn't realize she was gonna have. It's like, okay, I can't deny this anymore. Like, yeah. It's like, I don't want you like a best friend. She's gonna start singing Dress from Taylor Swift in 5 minutes. Cause, like, yeah, it's like, okay, I get this. And I understand now. That is the gayest song ever.
I don't think I've ever heard that song. I mean, I think you played it in Taylor. That one.
Yes, I definitely.
I'm sorry.
I played it for you.
I'm slowly learning, okay?
Trying to Swiftify, Caitlin.
It's working. There's too much music to know.
There's a Taylor Swift song for everything, is what I'm saying. And, like, this applies.
There is, and I need your help with finding one to fit a certain thing later.
Oh, you got it. No worries.
Okay. Cool.
Challenge accepted.
Taylor Swift episode, Vault Edition, coming eventually.
Eventually. Someday.
Someday. Anyway. Before I start singing Zombies. Side note for this scene. If you look at the piano, it is not plugged in.
Nice.
And I'm pretty sure, I was, like, trying to look at, like, pianos and see if, like, maybe there's, like, stuff that, like, gets charged or something. There isn't. It has to be plugged in.
Oh, and it's not, like, a battery-powered piano? Because I had, a keyboard like that where you could do batteries or plug it in. Yeah. Oh, but I don't know. This was, like, 10
I don't know.
20 years ago.
I have no idea. But I don't know. It just... So I was like, I have a screenshot of it that I'm looking at right now.
It is not plugged in.
It's not. And you clearly see that. But...
Also,
I don't know, I was trying to figure
out. Well, obviously that was a choice, because at one point Maddox, like, circles the piano, so, like, the bitch would have tripped and then died for real. This would have had a different ending, so we can't do that, no. Obviously.
We're not killing the lesbians!
No, and, like, if she circled the other way, it wouldn't be romantic. So, like, I understand that from, like, a choreography directing choice, but yeah, plug in your pianos, PSA, if they need to be plugged in. But, Caitlin, explain what happens in the scene. So,
I have screenshots in front of me, and it's giving me all the feelings right now.
So explain it. So Ashlyn plays the song, and then what happens? Oh, the piano that's not plugged in. And then what happens? Explain it. Let's relive it.
So, as you mentioned, Maddox comes over and sits next to her to sing the harmonies, and they just keep staring at each other. And Ashlyn just keeps like, shit, I really, really like this girl. And you know Maddox is just like, oh my god, I know I like this girl since last season. And then they get closer and closer. And at the end, they're about to kiss. And they're, like, this far apart. I don't know how to...
Inches apart.
Inches apart.
They are breathing each other in. Let's just say that. And there's looks of finally on everybody's face.
And Maddox is caressing.
Of course. Because it's... What always happens with women, Caitlin? There's always face caressing. If it's not face caressing, is it... queer women. Like, there has to be face caressing. There just has to be. And Maddox, as a lesbian, knows this. She's like, well, obviously, you're not going to understand this unless I touch your face. That's the universal sign of I like you as not a friend. And Ashlyn's like, yes, I get it. Just do it already.
And Ashlyn's,
what happens?
Ashlyn's letting Maddox come to her.
It's she's
Maddox
like,
do the
she's
work.
Like, girl, do it. Come on. Listen to the music. Do it.
But, of course, we get the window opening right before they kiss, and Pumpkin Dude enters. And you know what? Why, Pumpkin Dude? We could have had Madeline in episode 4 if you would just go away.
Honestly, though, when they get together, it's really cute, and I prefer this anyway. It doesn't matter. This is it's mutual, and we both know it now. Good.
But do they know it now? Because I don't think they do.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they do, but
you
they don't.
Do
just...
this? Caitlin, you don't do the face caressing happened, Caitlin. That is the confirmation that this is mutual.
But, like, it pisses me off. It's not, like, pisses me off, because, like, I understand their whole journey. It's just because it's the last season, and they only get together at the end, spoiler alert, that, like, there's four episodes in between, and I just want them together, and I want the cuteness, and there's not enough cuteness. It's just hyperventilating.
You know, we're greedy bitches and we want it all, but like, I don't trust the show. If they would have gotten together sooner, they would have broken them up, and like,
no.
So I'm just like, it's fine. They get together, they're together, and it ends with them together rather than like whatever the fuck happened with Big Red at the end of season three, which was absurd. Like, I was like, they're just, what, are they gonna break them up? Like, they're together. It's fine. All good. We win.
Okay, but during that song, there is another scene that we have to talk about. Carlos is walking outside, and this knight in shining armor comes up. And Carlos tells him that they ran out of candy, like, hours ago. Apparently, the signage really worked with going to the... Because they made them go to the attic to trick-or-treat, and that makes no
sense. That's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, this was a choice of just, like, I don't want to make another set. Everything's happening in the attic, which is insane. Who lets strangers come through your house up... Unless the bottom of the house was, like, a haunted house, and, like, kids had to go through the haunted... Some people are love Halloween and do shit like that.
Yeah.
That's not the vibe I'm getting here. It was just, go to Gina's room. She'll do the trick-or-treat.
You really think Gina's mother would, like, go all out and make a haunted house?
No, they don't have time for this
and
shit.
And Gina doesn't have time for it.
No, exactly. So this was... What a choice this was to be like, go to my attic for candy.
It was the most randomest part of the, besides Pumpkin Dude. Like, I mean, Pumpkin Dude is the reason for it.
But... No, I agree. But having this shit in the attic was a choice. And I think they're just like, we don't want to make another set. This is Gina's house. It's the attic.
Man, we should have just gone back to Ashlyn's house. That's where everything happens.
I'm surprised this didn't happen.
Oh, but no, Maddox would have been too close. Like, they couldn't be that close into Ashlyn's safe space.
Also, I'm surprised this didn't happen at the high school, because everything happens at the high school. Why wasn't this in the choir room? Like, you know how shows do that, where they're just like, we'll just hang out at school. I'm honestly just surprised they didn't do that. But here we are. It's fine. It's whatever.
They do most of the parties outside of school, though.
I know, but like, a lot of the time, like, schools a lot of times give out candy and shit, so like, I'm just surprised they didn't do it. Because having it in an attic was a weird choice.
That means, yeah.
Anyway, so who is the knight, Caitlin?
It's Seb.
So Seb and Carlos have a chat, and we find out that the writers did Seb really dirty. This was the most out of character thing that happens on the show. So the whole drama with them is that the documentary was cut to make it look like Carlos was hooking up with some rando, which the rando's the pumpkin guy, and he's, like, listening to all of this, which is weird. I'm like, who are you? I forgot about all of this. So, but the real truth is that Seb was, distancing himself from Carlos because during the 2 weeks, he kissed somebody else and actually cheated on Carlos, which doesn't make any sense. Based on who Seb is as a character. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, and when I say they like to insert relationship drama just to have drama, this is the biggest example of that. Like, this was so unnecessary. Like, why is Seb a cheater? Like, in what? Like, what?
But it's not even just that. What got me is that Seb wouldn't talk to Carlos because he thinks he cheated on him. So, like, And he made this whole big thing about it. Like, that's not what Seb would do.
No.
No.
Seb wouldn't cheat on Carlos, number one. Number two, like, the way he's behaving is like a person who basically doesn't take responsibility for what they did, but is like projecting it all onto the other person, which is not Seb also. And like, you can argue that, well, he can't lie, so if he interacted with Carlos, then, like, what he did would come out, and, like, he's not ready to talk about that. Obviously, all of this doesn't make any sense for, like, them. I'm like, why are we here? This is so weird. This felt very forced to me. Like, a very forced plot.
I basically just blocked them out this season because this storyline is really annoying. like, I am here for Madeline this season because, you know, they get
obviously
better shit. But Seb tries to play him cheating off and say it didn't mean anything. And he continues to only talk about his feelings and how it has made him feel distraught. But he literally gives Carlos zero time to process it. Like, Carlos is like, you just broke his world. Like, all he's been trying to do is talk to you and make sure you are okay. And you're only caring about yourself. And that is not what Seb would do.
No.
Like we've said.
Right. And all of this was super out of character. Like, all of it. It just, the writers forced this in there, and this felt really like, this is such an out of character. And then who Seb cheats with is also insane. Like, the whole thing is just, this was like soap opera drama. Like.
Yeah. And, what? Okay. So, speaking of that, let's go on to the next scene, which I have titled The World's Most Beautiful Breakup.
Like, I wish this was the conversation they had at the end of season 3. Like,
yes, it should have been.
Why was this not the conversation? Because their conversation at the end of season 3 was, Big Red's like, you're it. You're the perfect girl for me. You're my forever. I want to marry you someday. But, and then this is where we're at.
But Ashley thinks that he's about to break up with her. And she's like, I'm probably thinking it too.
Ashley is also hoping that Big Red will break up with her because she just realized she has crushes on all these women. And she's like, okay, great. But then he tells her the complete opposite. He's like, no, you're the perfect person for me. We're going to get married someday. It's going to be great. And then when they interact next in this season, they're breaking up. Like, why was that there? It's just so weird.
Also, it's important to note that he has already done what we're about to talk about when he did that speech to Ashlyn.
Yeah. None of this makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Like, this is okay. This is out of character for him, too. Like...
Yeah, because they wrote them out of the Seb is not a main character in this season. So, like, they got rid of Seb and Big Red last season, kind of, mostly. They got rid of them.
They didn't go to camp, so they were out
of then camp. They forgot who they were. Like, the writers didn't, like,
This feels like Glee, where Glee would just forget who characters are and write stuff, and you're like, what am I watching? This is a Glee moment. Gosh. That's what it is.
At least they try to explain where they were. Whereas in Glee, season 4,
Big Red's just in Egypt for some reason.
Yeah, okay, that one was weird. I understand. I don't understand why he went
to
Cairo.
They put no thought into this, is my...
No, they didn't.
No, Carlos and Seb have been doing too good for too long. Let's throw some drama in there. And then, I don't know what the hell this was all about. I think they're, like, going for, like, the Ashlyn Maddox thing, and they're like, well, Big Red's still a factor because basically he was like, I'm gonna marry you one day, so we gotta end this. I don't know, they throw darts on a globe, and they're like, he was in Egypt. I don't know, sure, whatever, let's not explain that.
I do want to talk to a writer, not to be like, why'd you do that?
What was,
like,
this?
I just want to, like, know what the thought process was. It's not... It was a choice, and they made that choice.
These were choices.
Okay, but we haven't actually talked about what this is. So, in the next episode after the Halloween episode, Big Red shows up randomly, okay? He's just randomly back from Cairo. And Ashlyn finally has an honest conversation with him. Like, she's not just letting him talk. And unfortunately, Big Red admits that he was the one Seb cheated with. So, this was after Seb mentioned something. So it, like, seems like he was only going to mention it because Seb had said something. Again, if Seb never said anything, he might not have. Like, I don't know, but...
Maybe? But also, like, he hasn't been in an episode since. So, like, what... And, like, it's not something you tell her. Like, okay, she also was waiting to tell him something huge about herself, but was like, mm-hmm. I can't, and she says it at the end, I can't do this over a text. He wasn't gonna do this over a text either. So, like, yeah, maybe it reads that way because of the sequence of, like, we, the viewers, find out about Seb first, then about this, but I think it was this was an in-person conversation we have to have, and I was literally in Egypt.
Yes. But I hate that Big Red tries to act cute and say surprise when, like, Ashlyn says, like, you're the one Seb cheated with. But, boy, cheating is not cute. So, no. And Ashlyn, I mean, luckily she's not affected by it because, you know, she's got her own shit going on.
Well, she's been emotionally, we never get into this, but she's been emotionally cheating on him since camp. So like,
I have something about
that. And we never get into that. So that is also a form of cheating.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're just growing apart. I'm like,
and I wrote down that she really should have broken up with him in the finale of last season. Like, right. That should have been
that. Why was that not the conversation there? That was stupid. Also,
how he says that they kiss-ish. How do you kiss-ish?
Like a peck, probably.
Isn't that still a kiss? I don't know.
There's different kinds of kisses. There's like romantic, like, okay, what Maddox and Ashlyn were about to do in the other episode was going to be more than like a kiss versus like a peck kind of thing. Yeah. That's not what they were about to do. So there's
no.
There's kisses with emotions involved, and then there's just like, let me explore this. And I feel like that's what they were kind of doing, which doesn't make, it makes sense for Big Red, but it does, exploring his bisexuality, but it doesn't make sense for Seb at all. Like, yeah, he was, like, I guess lonely because the 2 weeks happened.
The 2 weeks!
It's so stupid. It was 2 weeks. Oh, my God. If your boyfriend goes to camp for 2 weeks and you can't hold it together, what are you doing? Like, maybe you shouldn't be in a relationship. Anyway. So, like, it could have been, like, I was lonely. He was there. Like, it doesn't actually mean anything. It was just, like...
It's still cheating.
Yes, but, like, their thing is, like, I don't want to... I wasn't trying to break them up to get him. It was just, it happened. Which, like, shit happens when you have emotions. Like, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just, like, shit happens. And sometimes it means something, and sometimes it doesn't actually mean anything to you, the person doing it.
Then after that, Big Red tells her that it's his bi origin story, and he apologizes. But this is the perfect opportunity for Ashlyn to open up about how she had a crush on Val last summer. And she doesn't actually, like, come out and tell him. She makes him figure it out himself. Because she's like, do you remember Val from camp last summer? And he's like, yeah, she was pretty. And Ashlyn responds with, yeah, she was. And then, so... Big Red figures out that, oh, she likes her.
Yes.
The way that I would. No, you get what I mean.
Yes. We are both bisexual. Great.
And then she tells him that she felt it again when she almost kissed Maddox, which she basically just admitted to cheating on him as well.
Well, she didn't kiss him, so. But if she had, wouldn't that have been cheating? And would you have been as mad at Ashlyn as you are at Big Red and Seb?
But their conversation obviously ends fine because they both basically cheated on each other and knew they were growing apart. Like, I don't know. Like, something happens in Cairo, I guess. And he's just like, yeah, we're growing apart. It's fine.
I just hate that the 180. Like... Because the last time they were together, it was we're endgame. And then, like, now he's like, yeah, let's break up. Like, whatever happened off screen completely changed everything. It's very weird. I don't understand this. I don't understand why they weren't just broken up to begin with. And he comes back and they have the conversation where they're like, yay, we have this in common. But cool. Yeah, there's closure now with Big Red. Great. And good for him. Bye, King Red. Like, good for you.
But after that, Ashlyn asks if they just had the most beautiful breakup in history. And before, I would have agreed, because, like, it was very mutual and stuff. But doing episodes like this makes me really think about what's going on. And I saw things from other people what made me understand. Yeah, they ended up fine, but they created a crappy situation for other people. So, like, yeah, they're fine, but the other relationship that is affected by this is crap right now.
Yeah.
And they were already growing apart. So, like, no. Well, no, this is not...
Also, like, they were mutually cheating on each other. So, like...
Yeah.
Like, he kissed somebody else, and then she was very much emotionally cheating with Maddox and almost physically cheating. So, like, They have been broke. So basically they were just admitting, yeah, we ended a while ago. That's what they were admitting here. And they're like, no hard feelings because I found other people. You're looking at other people. Like, great. Let's just be friends. Like, that part was mutual, but like the situation is fucked. And you're right. There's collateral damage that isn't really like, it's just like, okay, I guess those other people are going to be upset.
But I want to talk about like, your opinions on the cheating between Seb and Big Red, like those characters, because I didn't think too much about it until someone else said something, and it's a totally valid concern that they brought up, so I wanted to make sure that we talked about it.
Sure.
So I saw some people say that it should not, like, if Seb was going to cheat, it should not have been with Big Red.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of the stereotype. Correct. That people who are sexual are cheaters and, yep, can't be trusted. Which is why some people won't even date someone who is bi, which is also bullshit.
Yes. And you're, by doing this, and also by not breaking up Big Red and Ashlyn in season 3, the writers made both Big Red and Ashlyn stereotypes because they were both cheating on each other with people of the opposite gender.
To figure out their identity. Correct, as well.
Which is pretty fucked up if you think about it. Now, had they broken up and Seb cheats with... Which, Seb cheating is just ridiculous. But if Seb's cheating with Big Red, fine. He's single. Then that doesn't make him a bi stereotype. It's whatever. And then Ashlyn and Maddox's stuff is okay because... I mean, Maddox had a girlfriend, which is not great. But like... she's not a stereotype anymore. But they turned everybody into stereotypes by making these weird choices here. So yeah, I agree. I think that was very bad. I think having Seb cheat was stupid to begin with.
Yeah. So. But they're discrediting the progress that they've made with these queer characters. Like, they're basically, yes, throwing stuff out. And
I agree. After making points to be like, with the Carlos and the body type issues that he has, like with the gay man stereotypes, then to do this and throw the bi character something, the bus was pretty fucked. Like, yeah, totally agree. That's a very excellent point.
Also, Seb avoiding Carlos and saying it is because of Carlos cheating on him is very messed up, and it hurts Carlos more than even what Seb did, because like Carlos is now, like, he was gaslighting him into, correct, like, thinking that it's his fault.
Correct. He was gaslighting him. But people do that. Like, when people are scared, like, it's scarier to, like, admit you're the failure than, like, harm another person. Like, people do that. That is a part of human nature that's super fucked. Like, that's realistic. It's shitty, but it's realistic. So, I see that, but I don't see that from that character that they set up. Like, I can see EJ doing that, like... As a form of self-preservation in a scenario. But, like, Seb, the guy who can't lie, like, this whole, yeah, thing was so
out of... He literally cannot lie. We've seen that many times. Correct. In the show.
It's a joke. Ongoing joke. So, like, none of... That's what I mean. Like, this was so out of character. All of this was out of character and ridiculous. Like, what? No. But, yeah, he was gaslighting him.
The whole thing, like, this storyline that they don't even get into, really, until episode 4, like, just to mention it, it's just too much for 8 episodes. Because cheating is messy, and I do agree that is way more complicated than what is actually shown. And it like, basically showed that it's on the other person to forgive the cheater so that the relationship can be okay. I mean, and, like, they did it so quickly as well with a song. I mean, it's High School Musical. It's going to be a song. Disney. But, like, they should have taken a break. I think that Carlos should have been like, maybe in time we can get past it, but right now I just need to be on my own. And I think that would have been better, but then people would be pissed that Seb Lowe's isn't together, so... I mean, and then I don't know if they even thought about the Ashlyn was actually cheating as well, because I personally consider emotional cheating. Correct. If you're talking to someone and you have feelings for them, that is cheating.
They almost kissed. Like, okay, they were,
I know that, but I,
they
I
were about to like actually go into Seb and Big Red territory. So like, it is clearly that was just gonna, if the pumpkin didn't walk in, then like all the cheating would have possibly happened. So like, yeah, the Seb and Big Red thing, there's no emotional cheating there. It was just a heat of the moment thing versus like the Ashley Maddox thing is worse. It's like there is like deep feelings there. It's worse.
Selfishly, I don't mind though, because we got cute scenes of them. That is fully selfish and like should not have been done in real life.
Yes, correct. They should have broken up Big Red and Ashlyn in season 3. We wouldn't even be here with this. Again, it's a very, they do soap opera relationship drama, just because then that becomes the plot point for these characters. Like, they could have been doing so many other things. Like, Maddox could have been, like, talking to Ashlyn about her working on the movie and shit, and we could have had real conversations with these characters. And, like, Seb and Carlos could have been having real conversations about stuff, but no, we have to focus on whatever this is. It's ridiculous. And, like, it's manufactured drama, and I hate it when they do this shit. It's just dumb. And with that, we've been Big Gay Energy. If you like this episode, check out all our other episodes on whatever you're using to listen right now. If you're listening on Apple, we'd really appreciate it if you left us a review, no matter how brief. It helps us get into Apple's algorithm to reach a wider audience.
Please feel free to reach out to us. We would love to hear from you about everything and anything. You can find us on all the social medias at Big Gay Energy Pod, or email us at biggayenergypod@gmail.com. If you'd like to make friends with other queer media loving people, reach out to us to join our Discord server.
If you'd like to support us, check out our merch store or join our Patreon for early access to episodes, exclusive content, and so much more. Until next time, stay safe and hydrate for Lesbian Jesus.